We are on page 437, 438.
Yeah, that's right.
In the Hebrew, it is Al Kein Oyhavai, right in the middle of the page. Last word is Oyhavai. Add it right over here.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Hebrew, in English, it's therefore my beloved, my brethren, mm-hmm. which is the only paragraph on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. So we are talking here about giving, is it a tzedakah letter? And the Alter Rebbe's deal over here is to try and wake people up. Yeah. That people are sleeping with the tirdas of Parnassa, they're getting deluged by their work they work,
right.
And they shouldn't be like the nations of the world that do things out of love of their own self-love,
right.
But we have to do things because they need to get done. Okay? And we understand that it's Hashem who's doing it. That's what he says, Al Kein Oyhavai, Achai, therefore, my beloved, my brethren. Again, we talked about the significance of him calling people my beloved in the last time.
Yes.
Na simu na levavachem, put your hearts, please, la'ela hadvarim hanemorim bekitzara ma'id, to those things which I am saying, which are being said quite briefly. And God willing, face to face, will speak to them at great length. Now, when the Alter Rebbe wrote this, the significance was that you'll come to Liadi, Liyoshna, wherever he was when he wrote this,
right.
And we can discuss this further at great length.
Right.
There is a letter, chapter 25, that goes on for about, it's the longest letter in the Tanya.
Okay.
It goes on for about 8 or 9 pages. And at the end of it, he says, and this is not the proper medium to convey these concepts, but if Yitzhak Hashem, you'll come, we'll talk about it. Okay, because talking about it is a lot easier than writing it down.
Yes.
So here is, so the simple times when he wrote this letter, so the intention was then that you'll come here where I am and we'll speak about it. Now, 200 years later, the parenthesis is still there, and it's a parenthetical statement, which means, since that Igeres HaKodesh was printed posthumously, it could have very easily have been that the Mittler Rebbe and the Alter Rebbe's other two sons who were in charge of putting together the Tanya at that time, and including Igeres HaKodesh,
they could have left it out. Sure, of course they could have.
Okay? Well, the fact that they left it in indicates that there is still some relevance
some
to us.
Right.
Somehow, this statement is still has forbearance on our lives as well.
Wow.
And indeed, we can still say, Im yirtza Hashem panim el panim edaber bam barucha. How arucha? Maybe 1,000 years, like when Mashiach comes.
Okay.
So he says, Im yirtza Hashem. You know, it's going to happen eventually. Okay, and I'm going to, I know, you know, Mashiach is going to be teaching his class, but I'm going to go off to the Alter Rebbe, you know, and see what he's got to say.
Yeah.
Okay. And how it is that the main thing that we have to do at this time, the heels of Mashiach, is the Avodah of giving tzedakah. We know that it says in Pirkei Avos, "Shleisha Moedim Ha'Olam Aymerad." That's a din of tzedakah. Shleisha Moedim. Shleisha Dvar Ha'Olam Aymerad. Three things the world stands: Al Torah, Avodah V'Gmilah Chasadim. Okay, learning Torah, davening, and acts of charity. So he says down at the bottom of the page, 2,000 years ago, during the time of the Tanoim, Amorayim, the main pillar. Okay, you need to have three pillars. But the main pillar was the pillar of Torah. Now, later, so the main pillar is action. Somewhere in the middle, the main pillar would have been davening. So there wasn't a specific time. There wasn't like a day. Somebody said, oh, we're done with Torah.
Yeah, we're done now.
We're going to go to
right.
Tzedakah.
Yeah, click.
Okay, or now we're done with tzedakah, let's go to davening, or davening back to whatever.
Right.
Okay, it was a gradual thing, And it depended really and demanded upon us, demanded on the Jewish people, what was the most needed. So 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, what was in that which was going to preserve and present Judaism was the formalization of the Torah Shebaal Peh,
right,
and the formalization of halacha,
right,
so that people should know what to do. I mean, you know, if we would have lost Torah Shebaal Peh, that would have been it.
Yeah,
there would be no more Judaism.
Right.
Okay, and somewhere added his deal. So the deal became, and that was what kept, that was the major pillar that kept the world going, because that was what's most needed. Now, so what's most needed? Well, we did that. We actually finalized the Torah with the advent of the Shulchan Aruch,
yeah,
and the writings on the Shulchan Aruch. So basically, any halacha that you want to have is there. Everything's been formulated. It's all been classified.
Right.
So now, the main thing is, since we live in the world of action, so the main thing is action. At some point, there was an emphasis was on davening. And I'm very surprised that the Alter Rebbe, who was just two generations removed from the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov's deal was, okay, you have to do Yivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, do everything happy. But he put a major emphasis on davening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, major emphasis on from the Baal Shem Tov that davening is the tool to perfecting a person's persona,
right,
and a person should spend time davening. So a person spending time davening, you're not making any money when you're davening.
It's a little tough,
unless someone you can figure out somebody gets find somebody to pay you to daven. You know, like if you have to. If there's nine people there that may need a tenth, you know, so, and you're like the perpetual tenth, you say, well, you know,
it's going to cost you, right.
Okay, but other than that, so, but at no time, it's not to say that one usurps the other. It says there are three pillars. You still have to have the three pillars. Mm-hmm. Even though the major one was Torah, but they didn't give tzedakah, they didn't daven. Yeah, they did.
Of course.
Nowadays, when he wants to say that this is the type thing now is tzedakah, so that people aren't supposed to learn, people aren't supposed to daven? Of course it's what they are. It says, but what's the main thing? How is it that people are going to appreciate it most? Okay, you see, we take, for example, Detroit and the famous August 11th flood. Okay, so this is now I see on Facebook that there are communities around the country that are banding together and they're helping out the woeful plight of the Detroiters.
Uh-huh.
So, what meaning how? With tzedakah. Yeah, one community, a small community in Brooklyn, decided that they're going to give school supplies. Okay, now I don't know how many people lost school supplies in the flood per se, but since school starting, and you lost school supplies?
In Kiva had an Art Smart program.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife and another doctor's wife put together 20 years ago. It took lots of time. It was kept in that doctor's basement.
Uh huh.
Gone. They have no program now, they have no materials, it's all gone.
Uh huh. It wasn't computerized.
And they had a nice basement, so that would never, a problem.
Never have a problem.
Clean in woods, though. They got it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so there's this outpouring now of tzedakah, because what's needed, people need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people need, so then, so it's very nice to say I'm going to sit and learn. But at this point, people need, and we have to come. It's very nice I'm going to daven, but, you know, this guy's washing machine is floating down the street.
Right.
Yeah, so he says here, the main avodah now in akvasa de Mashiach, in the times of the heels of Mashiach, bringing right in the very birth pangs of Mashiach, the throes of Mashiach, he avodah says, akvashikaz of rizal, ein yisrael negalan ela bitztaka. It says that the Jews will only be redeemed. See Gemara. The Jews, how are we going to get Mashiach to come? Tzedakah. Okay, now we know there's lots of ways to give tzedakah. And if a person's giving tzedakah, having in mind that with every penny of tzedakah, he's doing it in order to have Mashiach come. So isn't that an ulterior motive? And the answer is, well, maybe, but what is he getting out of
it? You can't call it selfish.
Yeah, definitely not.
You can't call it selfish, no.
Definitely not, you know, so.
There may be some self-serving purpose there, but you can't call
why
it
selfish. Why did the Rebbe give out dollars every Sunday?
Exactly.
So that people should give tzedakah, so we should get closer.
So he could bring Mashiach.
Mashiach.
Yeah.
It was all a plan, you know.
Sure, he had, of course it was. It wasn't.
He had an in on it, you know.
It wasn't random acts of just, well, maybe.
Yeah, he wanted it to, the Mashiach should come. Yeah,
sure, of course.
Okay, as it says, Aini still have to go on Elabit Tzedakah. Okay, that, if that be the case then, so now how does that make you feel? You're getting this letter from the author, Rebbe wants it to give to Eretz Yisrael, and he's telling you that if you want Mashiach to come, you have to contribute to the cause. Okay, the author Rebbe doesn't lie. He's not, this is not puffing. This is not bluff. This is not marketing.
Yeah, he doesn't.
This is, the author Rebbe is not engaged in Madison Avenue tactics.
No.
Of getting people to participate in whatever the client is.
No.
The Alter Rebbe is engaged in a truthful campaign.
Yeah.
It is impossible for a Rebbe to say something that isn't 100% truth. Impossible. So if the Alter Rebbe says that the way that getting Mashiach to come is through giving tzedakah, and that's a primary vehicle for getting Mashiach to come. Question is then: is whose tzedakah are we talking about? Because who's causing Mashiach to come?
We are.
Nope. Hashem is.
Of course, it is.
We're doing everything we've been doing, and the Jews have been trying to get Mashiach to come for more than 3,000 years.
Yeah, it's
and we've been banging our head for 3,000 years. Yeah. And the Rebbe himself said, "I don't know what else there is. What does Hashem want from us already? It's up to Hashem only." Okay. So, therefore, Ein Yisrael Negalim B'Tzedakah, it says that the whole world, why was the world created?
Sure.
The world was created, as far as Hashem is concerned, is because Teva Hatev Lehetiv. It's the nature of good to do good. Hashem is kind. Hashem wants to bestow kindness. So Hashem created a world in order that we should be the recipient of Hashem's kindness.
So he could bestow kindness.
Okay, so Hashem needed to have tzedakah, so or to give tzedakah. Okay, so if that be the case, then so it says Ein Yisrael Negalim B'Tzedakah could also mean not necessarily just our tzedakah, but we're going to hope at least to be Isarusa de Latatas Gerim and Isarusa de La'ela, that if we get excited. And we show that instead of going and buying ice cream and chocolate chip cookies, we go and we give it money away to charity. Mm-hmm. So that's going to excite Hashem, that Hashem is also going to give tzedakah. Remember, our relationship with Hashem is reciprocal. Yeah. What we do, Hashem does.
Yeah.
So if we're having mesiras nefesh, self-sacrifice, mm-hmm. in order to give tzedakah, mm-hmm. what is expected with Hashem quid pro quo? We expect that Hashem is also going to give tzedakah. What would be the ultimate act of Hashem's tzedakah? Okay, you could say Hashem al Yaitzi. I'm a Yaitzi with giving you guys life. That's what Hashem could say. It's an act of tzedakah that you're even here.
True.
Okay? But, listen, the Alter Rebbe has always talked Hiddur. Whenever you do a mitzvah, one of the many tenets, the four or five, six tenets of Hasidic philosophy formulated by the Baal Shem Tov, is every mitzvah you do, you have to do behidr. You have to do it the best way possible, quantitatively and qualitatively.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why Lubavitchers all wear big tefillin and have all three of his parshas in them. Is because they're quantitatively bigger and they're qualitatively better, at least in our opinion. Anyway, so now when it comes to giving tzedakah, so we would want Hashem also to do it, behidr. So just getting by with tzedakah would be your 10%. We talked about last week. That's just getting by. The hidr is to give more, give it with a smile, go looking for where to give tzedakah. So if a person is doing that, then it's going beyond what's demanded of them. So we should therefore expect from Hashem that Hashem is going to likewise do tzedakah, not just to get by. So he can't come off, he's not getting off the hook by saying, well, I created you guys, isn't that enough tzedakah? And the answer to that one is no. We want quality tzedakah. We don't want just that plain 10% tzedakah. We want quality tzedakah. So what's quality tzedakah as far as Hashem is going to be? Bringing Mashiach. So and how are we going to get that? Okay, if you'll give quality tzedakah, you'll get quality tzedakah. V'loy Amar, so you asked the question, but he said, wait a minute. V'loy Amar is all Talmud Torah Shakol Keneged Gemilos Chesadim. We have a statement, V'Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. He said every day in the morning brachas. There's a way, the learning of Torah outweighs all mitzvahs. Right. Okay? And it's right there in the same issue. It says, Elo Dor Shilash HaPeah V'Gmorim HaPeah HaBikorim V'Haroyim V'Gmilos Chesadim V'Talmud Torah.
Right.
Okay, right before Talmud Torah is Gemilas Chesedin. Okay, and at the end of that mission, that's a different mission actually, put them together, V'Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And in Gemilas Chesedin is mentioned in that Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the Talmud Torah weighs even more, with all those things together, including Gemilas Chesedin, acts of charity, so Talmud Torah is still better. So it says, wait a minute, so what is that? So what are you telling me that Tzedakah is going to be bringing the Geula? Elabiyah Mayhem. That was way back when. Shetalmud Torah Haya Ikar Avoda Etzlam. That the main thing that they did back then was the learning of Torah. Not to say, and again, as you know, as it's talked about in the Tisha B'Av stories, there were three men who were just upon that took upon themselves that during the Roman siege that they were going to sustain Jerusalem. One had enough money to supply wood. One had enough money to supply oil and wine. And the third one had enough to supply wheat. Okay? And they had enough. They looked at the storehouses and saw that they had enough to keep them for 30 years, to keep them in stock. They could have held out against the Romans for 30 years. Okay? The whole problem, they got burned, whatever the whole, that's another story, whatever. Okay? So, all three of these rabbis that made such a magnanimous gesture were all Torah scholars. One of them was Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason why, what was the whole problem is that Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law would not let his daughter marry a boor.
Right.
You know, they go marry a Talmud Chacham. So what does that say about the father-in-law? Well, the father-in-law, his whole deal was learning Torah.
He wasn't a slouch.
Definitely not. The fact that he has, it says, I don't know too much about him, but the fact that he had Rabbi Akiva for a son-in-law.
It can't be too much of a slouch.
Wow. So that was in their days. Alkein hayu chachamim gedolim tenoim v'amaroim. That's why back then you had people that, like the tenoim and amaroim, the people from the Mishnah, the people from the Gemara. Okay, and these people, the spiritual level that these people were on was well beyond anything we can comprehend. It's not just that you had a Rebbe Yehuda who wrote down a Mishnah, we quoted a Rebbe Meir and a Rebbe Kiva and all these other, you know, whatever, 200 people that are mentioned in the Gemara. There's a story about the Satma Rebbe Reb Yoel. That he asked that he have be instilled with the Yira, that he should experience the fear of the Tanoim.
Right.
And they said, no. So he said, okay, what about, I'd like to experience the level of fear that the Amaroyim, the people from the Gemara, experienced. This is a level, lower level. Yeah. And he was told, absolutely not. And he went through the generations, the Ganaim, the Savarai, the Ga'inim, and finally said, well, I want to experience the same level of fear as the Rambam. Okay, that's only from 700 years ago. Only. Okay. So, okay. It says that he experienced the minute of the fear of heaven that the Rambam experienced. And it says that he could not get off the floor from trembling. He shook on the floor the whole time that he had it. Okay, so the people that we're talking about over here, these people that we're calling them Rabbi so-and-so. Okay? He's not just, you know, it's not
just
like,
Rabbi.
Yeah. This is not like the Iguda Rabbanin over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, these people were, every one of them was a Rebbe.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we say that in their time, so, okay, good. They sat and they learned. That was the main thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, they davened, they gave tzedakah. The main thing was learning. Mm-hmm. Okay, because if you experience such a level of dread and trepidation of Hashem,
right.
Okay, the only thing that's going to be able to counterbalance it is to sit and study all day.
Yeah.
That'll balance out that fear.
Your seichel, to involve your seichel.
Exactly.
Because your heart's already there.
Yeah, focus the fear on something
that's
concrete.
Yeah, right.
Be productive with it.
Right.
Okay, so they sat and learned. Just the occasional person who was poor would come by and ask for money. That wasn't going to cut it with these guys. The Tanaim and Amoraim would have been rolling on the floor too. Which is not the case nowadays. The heels of Mashiach, that the Alter Rebbe 200 years ago called his generation the heels of Mashiach. We can only imagine what that makes our generation. Shenaf l'sukas David, ad b'chinas raglayim v'akvayim. That this is an idiomatic expression incorporated in the benching during Sukkot. Harachman hu yakim lana sukas David anayfalas. Refers to the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So nowadays that the Beis HaMikdash has fallen. And how far has the Beis HaMikdash fallen? Right down to the bottom. What does that mean? That it says about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that he writes that he never experienced the Chorban.
Right.
He was nostalgic after Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva died in the year 137, and he died afterwards. The Beis HaMikdash was at least destroyed for 50 years during his lifetime.
Right.
So yet he writes that it's written that he never experienced the destruction.
Right.
What does that mean? Beis HaMikdash is not just a building. Beis HaMikdash is a state of mind.
It's a level. Yeah.
And so even though the physical brick and mortar was not there,
he
never left. The giluyim that were experienced, the revelations of godliness that were experienced in the Beis HaMikdash, he continued to experience them throughout his entire life, because of the level that he was on that he achieved. So now what happens? So there's a certain revelation that was appreciated by everybody. Joe Average would walk into the Beis HaMikdash and experience tremendous revelations of Hashem, miraculous expressions of Hashem.
Yeah.
Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. What happens to Joe Average? He's average now. There's nothing going on. He doesn't see anything. It says, but that doesn't mean that the revelations aren't still going on.
Right.
In Judaism, if a tree falls in a woods and no one's there to hear it, it does make a sound.
It's still sounding, right?
Because who are you that you have to hear it?
Yeah,
it's still there.
Yeah.
So the revelations from the Beis HaMikdash are still
there.
What's the problem is that they've been sunk in the mire
Klipa.
Of Galus. Yes.
That's right.
So that we cannot see the revelation that was existed in the times of the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
So what it means, Sukkot David and Nefolos Ad Ha'aretz Ad Ha'ragla Agrayim V'Akvayim Shehu V'chinas Asiya. This is the world of Atzil, the realm of Atzil, the realm of action. That basically, in order to get the revelation, you got to kick the dirt off. Proverbially speaking, how do you kick the dirt off? Well, you give tzedakah. Even though we're specifically, it's called the generation of heels of Mashiach. Okay, if you're going to kick up the dirt, what part of your foot are you going to use? You're going to use your heel. You're not going to use the side of your foot. You're going to get a good soccer kick. You know, so, but if you're going to kick up dirt, you're not using a soccer kick. No, you're using your heel. So it's the heel that is doing the work there in the kicking. So it's the we're the heels, not the bottom of the feet. There is a word in Hebrew for soles, S-O-L-E-S. It's not, it doesn't say that we're our generation is the souls of Mashiach. Because then you could really say, I'm a soul man. No, it says the heels. The heels of Mashiach specifically, because it's the heels that you're digging in. You start digging in your heels. That's the one that things get accomplished with. And it's that specifically, digging in our heels and with the giving of tzedakah. Ain derech ledavka bo be'emes ulahavcha chashoycha l'nahara delay kiim v'chinas asiya. And this world, which is so doubled, and the darkness is so doubled, and the revelation of Hashem, which is in the Beis HaMikdash, is so concealed and covered over, how could we possibly remove the muck and mire from the revelation? Is you have to do something. We live in the world of action. This world is called Olam Ha'asiya Hagashmi. This is the physical realm of action. And the only thing that counts in this, in our world, are the deeds that we do. Talk is cheap. Thoughts don't even account for anything. Okay, such that if the guy's standing up at the Bima and he says, you know, we need to have whatever, and the guy's thinking, yeah, I'll give him $18. And he turns around and he's going through the things and he says, I pledge $18. Okay? So the thinking about it and the saying about it, that's real close. Why? Because they both really don't amount to whole much. Because how many bills are you going to get paid by your pledge? Now, it could be they could borrow money against your pledge, or throw another thing. But how many bills are going to get paid by your pledge?
Zero.
None. It's not until you actually give that something happened. Up until that point, absolutely nothing happened. What action are we talking about specifically? Since this is a tzedakah letter, we're talking about the act of giving charity. Ki yedua lemaskilim, as it is known to the intellectuals, shebechinas asiya be'alakuz, hu bebechinas hashpava hamshachas achayas lamata mata, laman delesle megar miklum. What does it mean, action for Hashem? We know that Hashem thought. Kachal beritzayna. Hashem wants. Hashem thought. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. We know that Hashem spoke. So what then is, if we're going to say, okay, we stop there? Why should we stop there? Where's the action? You want to say, okay, we have will and thought and speech and action, and we're patterned after Hashem. So therefore, there has to be a will, and a thought, and a speech, and an action of Hashem. So what is then the action of Hashem? The action of Hashem is to open up all the channels of godliness, and to cause all that godliness to flow down into our realm. And how do we open up those portals between the different realms? Tzedakah. Again, because of what it is that tzedakah accomplishes for the individual and for the world at large. For the individual, he's giving away a pound of himself, you might say. It's like he took off something, some girth off of his midsection, and said, here, take this and use it, mitzkuz and tehe, use it in good health.
Right.
Okay, because by not eating that money that he has, he's not getting fatter. So this, that he's actually giving, so he's giving of himself, not just of what's in his wallet, he's giving of his whole totality. And when a person gives tzedakah, they should realize, even if you're talking about just, like you said in previous letters in chapter 3, that it's just a quarter going into a pushka, and compared to the whole suit of armor, that's just one scale. And so how much is it? Okay, fine. But stick it next to all the rest of this, the quarters, and see how much you got.
Right.
So the act of tzedakah is the act, which is going to say, I skipped over a point, to convert the dark, his darkness to light. Okay, and a magnanimous skill is what he's talking about is there's no divine revelation. What happens? Hashem says, okay, we're done. We're finished. Suddenly, the divine revelation dwarfs all other divine revelations. Dom Ken Shahu, you lost where we are. You lost one, five lines from the bottom.
The previous divine revelations of Hashem's also?
Pardon?
I had a understanding how a divine revelation from Hashem can overshadow other divine revelations from Hashem. If there are no other divine, it can become of no other source.
The divine revelation is all over the place. Okay? We don't see it because it's all covered over.
Okay.
So what happens? We give tzedakah. Hashem says, okay, I'll give you a little piece of the action. I'll give some tzedakah too. I'll reveal some of that revelation.
Some of the covering goes away.
Some of the covering, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Some of the covering goes away.
As he says, ki yidu l'maskilim is understood to the intellectuals. Which I don't know who the author of his intellectuals were.
Yeah,
it's like they're
you
not,
gotta wonder.
They're not living in this neighborhood. You know. Yeah.
That's different than those in the
those who understand or familiar with the esoteric writings.
Right.
No, this is
a
masculine. This is people that
are
intellectuals. Shibuchinu sees be'alikus.
Wow.
This is the ultimate tzedakah is that you give something to somebody who has nothing. And how much do you have to? What's the maximum you can give somebody until they say, "I have enough."
Mm.
And anybody who controls themselves. Because they're easy. Yitzhahara is going to say, wait a minute, I need my own. I have to feed my own family. That's another letter. Where he says it's only talking about feeding your own family is if you're talking about you eating bread and them eating bread. We learned this already. Okay? But if you're eating meat and they're eating nothing. So you eat bread, and they'll eat bread.
Right.
Okay? That would be called Zeveach HaSyitzray, slaughtering one's evil inclination.
Right.
Okay? What are our necessities?
Yeah.
You know, again, referring back to August 11th, people got a rude awakening as to what in their basement constituted necessity. As we see by the 5 to 6, 5 to 8 foot mounds of trash that stretched across people's entire houses, you know, as to what was really necessary. How much of that stuff are they going to replace? I know a lot of people had families living in there, they had kids living in their basements, yeah. They had 4 bedrooms in their basement.
Yeah.
But I guarantee even those people, a lot of stuff is not going to get replaced, and it's like, Baruch Hashem, we finally got rid of it. Even those people. And the people who just use the basement for storage, for sure.
Yeah.
It's like
more room.
We have space.
Right.
So it says that he wants to see everybody to be able to slaughter their evil inclination.
Mm.
That's a heavy verb there.
Mm.
Just take it right out, take a knife and cut its throat.
Shecht it. Yeah.
And the word Zeveach, it implies as a sacrifice for korban.
Yeah.
Offer up your yitzhahara as a korban,
mm-hmm.
Because you have all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't give. We talked about this last week. The accountant said I gave enough. I have you know how many causes I'm already giving to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All that's just yitzhahara.
Yeah.
That he opens up his hand. And his heart, which is more important. Knowing that somebody is empathizing with your need is just as important as the check that they're going to write. Because what this then does is when a person then shows empathy to the person to whom they're giving tzedakah and paying attention to, then the Sitrach, or the forces of evil, are subjugated and are converted from darkness to light. Hashem Yisbarech. Hashem Aleinu Ruchim is a sea of Akas Mashiach. Hashem will then, if we're going to do this, then Hashem is going to rest upon us with his divine presence in this realm of Mashiach. But this is a physical place. At what time? At the time of Ba'akvas Mashiach, the time of the heels of Mashiach. And who is he going to do it on? On us. And we are, comparably speaking to all the other generations, yeah, we're the lowest of the low. Vayizak elirais ayin ba'ayin v'shuv Hashem v'tzion. And we should merit to be able to see what? The revelation.
Yeah.
Eye to eye. Should be able to say, oh, hello, God.
Yeah.
When
and tolerate it.
When Hashem brings the Jewish people back to see him.
Yeah.
To be continued. We've ended chapter 9.